We were talking about zeal yesterday in terms of this whole mystery of the temple. And so let's go to...
Is this related to Luke, or is it? Do I need to write that down?
Well, it's still, we're sort of on a side trip. Let's go to Isaiah 9. Maybe this whole thing about is if we finish Luke, then the Lord will come. Maybe that's it. At this rate. Isaiah 9, starting verse 2. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them has thy light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise, and garments rolled in blood. But this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform this.
How many years did Isaiah's prophecy precede Christ coming? 400 years? Or
no? 760 some years. He saw. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform this. Now, that zeal of the Lord of hosts is singleness of mind. And that same zeal, because of this whole mystery, if he is truly your only self, then his zeal is your zeal. His peace is your peace. His abundance is your abundance. Amen?
Amen.
What?
Well, frankly.
Frankly?
Frankly.
Well, what if you've been speaking now? Frankly, what have you been other times?
Henry, Carol. Frankly, it sounds like we're preaching zeal instead of Christ. And
no, we're preaching the cross. The fruit of the cross is the revelation of Christ. The revelation of Christ is zeal.
Sounds like we're preaching zeal.
No, I'm showing you that the zeal is part and parcel of his life.
Okay, there's something bothering me about it, and I think what it is I think it's a judgment. You judge everybody has no zeal, so you're concentrating on zeal.
Well,
it
may be
true.
In
that sense, you're preaching zeal. And now we've got to do zeal or we're not acceptable in your sight. I can't say that.
Well, I've never said anything like that.
Well,
The fruit of discipleship is zeal.
That's what happens.
All right. Let's go to Isaiah. Let's spend some more time on Isaiah. Go to Isaiah 48.
Something else going on here, and I can't get my head around it. And that's why.
Well, I think that what's going on is possibly that you don't think you have zeal.
I don't know if that's true.
Well, I don't either, but
no,
I'm saying
good.
that's a good
comment.
That could be,
yeah,
the what's going on.
I know my inner man is very zealous. I live that. But I can judge my own self and say, well, where's the fruit of your zeal? What are you doing? You know, where's your disciples? Where's your expression of faith? You know, I can judge myself.
You asked what was going on, and I said, I think that's what was going on.
No, I appreciate the statement. I said that.
Okay. Let's start in verse 1, Isaiah 48. Hear ye this, O house of Jacob, which are called by the name of Israel, and are come forth out of the waters of Judah, which swear by the name of the Lord, and make mention of the God of Israel, but not in truth, nor in righteousness. For they call themselves of the holy city, and stay themselves upon God, the God of Israel. The Lord of hosts is his name. I have declared the former things from the beginning, and they went forth out of my mouth. And I showed them, I did them suddenly, and they came to pass. Because I knew that thou art obstinate, and thy neck as an iron sinew, and thy brow brass. I, even from the beginning, declared it to thee. Before it came to pass, I showed it thee, lest thou should say, mine idol hath done them, and my graven image and my molten image hath commanded them. Thou hast heard, see all this, and will not declare it. I have showed thee new things from the time, even hidden things, and thou did not know them. They are created now and not from the beginning, even before the day when thou heardest them not, lest thou shouldest say, behold, I knew them. Yea, thou heardest not, yea, thou knewest not, yea, from that time that thine ear was not opened. For I knew that thou wouldest deal very treacherously, and was called a transgressor from the womb. For my name's sake will I defer mine anger, and for my praise will I refrain for thee, that I cut thee not off. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. For mine own sake, even for mine own sake, will I do it. For how should my name be polluted, and I will not give my glory unto another? Hearken now unto me, O Jacob and Israel, called by my name. Excuse me. Hearken unto me, O Jacob and Israel, my called. I am he. I am the first. I also am the last. Mine hand also hath laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand hath spanned the heavens. When I call unto them, they stand up together. All ye assemble yourselves and hear. Which among them hath declared these things? The Lord hath loved him. He will do his pleasure on Babylon, and his arm shall be on the Chaldeans. I, even I, have spoken. Yea, I have called him. I have brought him, and he shall make his way prosperous. Come you near unto me. Hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. From the time that it was, there am I. And now the Lord God and his Spirit hath sent me. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. Oh, that thou hadst heard, hearken to my commandments, and had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. Thy seed also had been as the sand, and the offspring of thy bowels like the gravel thereof. His name should have not been cut off, nor destroyed from before me. Go you forth of Babylon, flee ye from the Chaldean with a voice of singing. Declare ye, tell this, utter it even to the end of the earth. Say ye, the Lord hath redeemed his servant Jacob. And they that thirsted not when he led them through the deserts, he caused the waters to flow out of the rock for them. He clave the rock also, and the waters gushed out. There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked one. Now, why did I read that? Because that is the definition of zeal, to come out. Come out of Babylon. You cannot have zeal in Babylon. As long as you're living by cause and effect, zeal escapes you. Is that clear?
Talk about the part where it says the Lord will perform.
When you, again, he's not going to violate your will. You have to come in total repentance, emptiness.
And in that,
you can't have cause and effect.
Yeah, then he is the first cause of your life at that point.
I understand, but hear me. He isn't going to violate what what you think is the thing to do.
If you picked up the cross, there should be none of that, right?
Well, you abandon yourself. Pick up the cross. Those are the two. The abandonment of self is no longer used in the mind for any purpose. Picking up the cross is accepting your death. And then you will follow him.
Right. In that position, it's God is your life.
Right. Jesus Christ is your only self.
Jesus Christ.
I've been thinking about this. Let me see if I can make. It's hard to understand. We live in the first time, the first generation that was success and has successfully cloned something. The idea that in you, any one cell from your body has all the genetic material to reproduce you. Now, that's what the mystery of Christ is, the best way to describe it. You are a cell in this mystery of God. You're not, but in order for that to be, for it to be expressed, it's at the expense of everything about you. That's why it's, I am determined. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I think. Yeah, I think. I thought this is where it said, I am determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified, but it's a, so it's just, you know, it's in there. What does that mean? I am determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Why didn't it say I'm determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him risen? Why didn't it say that? It says, I'm determined to nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified.
And you said,
why doesn't it say, I'm determined to nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him risen?
That's the word I didn't hear, risen. Okay.
I know the answer is because that's God's business.
But what does it mean? Why? What's going on?
Preach Jesus Christ and him crucified so that the process can take place. And you die, he raises you up in Christ.
He raises Christ up in you. He doesn't raise you.
Sure.
Positive. You're just the vessel. Christ alone is immortality.
That's our salvation. Is his life and us in him.
That's why?
That's our life, is his life, and we are in him and he is in us, and we are one in the Father. I mean,
amen.
I know there's a
but why doesn't it say that in this case? Why isn't Paul?
That's a good question.
Hmm?
Does he not say it in another place? I'm not have to look that up. It seems like he says it in some other place where it's not the cross, it's just preaching Christ. I don't know. I don't have the answer.
All right. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Maybe that's it. Well, let's start in chapter 2, verse 14. Now thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ.
You're in 2:14.
Chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. I don't know how to express this, but all I can do is tell you from my perspective what that means. There is nowhere that I have been since the day of my conversion that I haven't talked about the cross. Whether it was and that's why I didn't get invited to parties, yes. But whether it was at Nick Farley's Lounge or whether it was at the deli, what was it named? Phil's Delicatessen, or Lucas B&B when we lived over there. It was not ever something that was not manifest. The idea that that he is my life. I mean, it was this. He causes us this, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. It was no, whether it was my sister or my mother, whether it was my cousins, wherever I that's just all I talk about. Whether it's here, I mean, and the only reason is, it's not because I'm trying to be a nut. It's the only thing I'm interested in. And I think that's what this means. He now, and this, the rest of this is true too. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death, unto death. And I've been accused of that ever since the beginning. Ever since I had the talk show. Ever since I was on television. I mean, it was always this. To the one we are the savor of death, unto the other the savor of life, unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God. And you corrupt the word of God by adding water. It's you add water to the wine for the purpose of commerce. You try to sell it. I've done the opposite of trying to sell it. Whether that's good or bad, right or wrong, I don't know. It's just what happened. There's never a case when I tried to con you into or sell it by great words to accept anything. Done the opposite. I've tried to make fun of you as you're what you think you are, and your any talents or any even any problems. Oh, I've got problems. No, you're just ordinary flesh. But here, for we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Now, you know, I've talked to thousands of people since the last 40 years. Got what? A handful of disciples. And the same was true in every case throughout history. It's always the total emptying of self. It's always making manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place we are. Whether it's where we're working or where we're... You remember I used to say, the sun never quits, he gets fired a lot, though. Now, that's... Now let's go over to chapter 5. Verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. Now, that means in any way living unto you or yours, it's just, it can't be. Now, as I said, you know, that's what the whole takeaway from my conversion was, that I could never again do anything to help myself. Now, whether I saw that wrong or not, that was the fruit, and it still is, as far as I can tell. And if I did ever think about helping myself, somebody called me on it, which is why we have to have a body. Now listen. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. We know no man after the flesh, and even though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet henceforth now we know him no more. That's an incredible statement. Let's go to 1 John. That which was from the beginning.
Where are we in 1 John?
Chapter 1, verse 1.
Okay.
That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. Now that has to be true for everyone that preaches the word of God. You had to have gone through that. That which is from the beginning, that which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Now, I'm not talking about in anything about what we are doing here, but I'm talking about in my experience in visiting all those churches and all those places, trying to find a church, trying to find a place for me to fall into the ground and die. Every time, every place I went, it was always telling me how to get something. How to get saved, how to get healed, how to get money, how to have a good home, how to have nice kids, how to. My perspective, any how-to, no matter how sincere, no matter how it is, it's from putting on the Babylonian garment. It's putting on cause and effect. Now, the whole mystery, you can't live by cause and effect over here and expect to preach caused by, expect to preach the emptiness over here. Or teach it or talk about it, because the savor of his knowledge is not made manifest by you in every place, because you're a different person in different places. And that's what it means. I'm determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. I know no man after the flesh. And that, to me, that's what produces the zeal. It's not me doing anything except seeing my total and complete emptiness and worthlessness without him. And then I can't help but talk about it. And the same is true, I hope, I pray for each one of you. There's no one that knows me in any way that doesn't know this about me. Now the question is, are there people that you know that don't know who you are in Christ? Is the cross preached in every place where you have and where you go? Not even, I don't care about preaching, is the cross lived? Are you a different person in different places? Now I know a lot about that, because I was a different person in every place I was before I was a believer. And it's as natural as breathing. You're a different place, person with your family, you're a different person with your work, you're a different person in social clubs, you're a different person when you date. I've told you, I'm not saying this with any kind of pride, I was either chairman or president of 11 different organizations. And it was just goofy. But I was a different person, each one of those. So when I heard Norman Grubb, I didn't hear the words, it was just some, but it was him. He lived that he is, his life is Christ. And he said this thing. The only thing that got me, that grabbed me, was God can't use you unless you fail.
Yeah.
And that, for some reason, that was the first time I'd ever heard truth in my life. And you know, I was had all kinds of temptations to believe that wasn't true. And I certainly I didn't like it after I regained my senses.
Yeah.
And that's why I studied so much, to try to prove it was wrong. There's no merit in any study I did, because I was trying to prove that God was full of crap. And His Spirit lied to me. So if my point is if this truly is your only life, and I'm not saying whether you should or shouldn't do it, I'm just saying from my experience, then this is the thing that you talk about. This is the thing that consumes you. And it doesn't matter, and it because of your care and concern for other people. I mean, I've been talking to, well, I'm going to say it because he said it. I've been talking to Pat Booth for, well, I knew him long before I was a Christian. He finally sees. Because he was totally consumed with conservative politics and Christianity. And now he's writing everybody and telling him, I'm done. I'm entered to rest. And I just started crying when I saw that email he wrote. Now, whether he does or not, I don't know. We'll see. But all this has to do with zeal. Zeal has to be singular. It is the fruit of the Spirit. It is the result of the cross. Because there's nothing else in your life. And it's scary. I mean, I had no, you know, the conversion thing, I had a few $1,000s in my pocket, but I walked away from everything else, and I said, you know, I didn't even think about it. It just, if I'd have thought about it, I wouldn't have done it. But then when I moved into the executive inn down there next to the airport, well, that $1,000, a couple thousand didn't last very long. And so that's when I ended up homeless under the bridge. But I couldn't ask anybody for money. I couldn't tell anybody what was going on. But again, zeal of the Father has eaten him up. I'm going to say that somewhere.
Yeah. That's when he messed with the money changers, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. When he cast the money changers out.
Yeah. Using the gospel to fatten their wallets.
Mm-hmm. All right. This was just another rant and another going off track, so maybe we can get on track tomorrow. Luke. Anybody have any other response?
No, appreciate what you said.
All right, take a big guy.